News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
But first up, the CAO offers, of course, are out. The first round was made yesterday afternoon. And gradeflation, Shane, appears to be in full flow. But you don't think it's anything new?
No, I don't. And look, there obviously is this issue, and university chiefs are rightly unhappy about it. We're having random selection for economics and finance, for dental science. Kids are getting 625 points. Not getting the course they want. Maximum points. That is absolutely crazy. And look, there's absolutely, and you spoke very eloquently about this last week, the government bottled it. They should have done this process a couple of years ago, like they did in the UK, of rolling back the COVID inflation, grade inflation. But my point was, and I absolutely agree with what you're saying, but my point was a wider one, that this far predates COVID, that grade inflation is not a new phenomenon. When I was doing my Leaving Cert, admittedly many, many years ago, there was maybe at most a dozen people around the country who got seven A's, as it was back then. Now you're getting more than that in one school. And just like people have been texting in, it's not to knock anyone who got 625s. Brilliant achievement. It's still an extraordinarily hard thing to do. But my point is, it should be incredibly rare. It's not incredibly rare. I just did a quick bit of looking back when I was, because it's very hard to compare Leaving Cert results then and now. But what you can do is compare points. When I was doing my Leaving Cert, law was 24 points. The maximum then was 32 points. That's basically three quarters of the points available you need to do law. That would be equivalent to 470 points. The year I did my Leaving Cert, medicine was 26 points. That again was 81% of the points on offer. That would be 506 points in today's money. Like, now you need 625 points to do medicine. You need in the high 590s in some years to do law. Crazy. Some of the marks that are available. 45% of people in some years who sat Latin got H1s. 40.1% in applied maths, a subject that many people don't even sit in school. 41%. Absolutely incredible. And one last point. Like, third level are rightly giving out about this, but they also need to look in the mirror. The year I graduated from Trinity College, two people in my class of 180 got firsts. One of those is now a university professor, an absolutely brilliant mind. The other guy now works in the US Fed. They were both basically geniuses. You don't need to be a genius to get a one anymore in college. So I think there's an element of everybody looking in the mirror here.
And you're wholly right. You're wholly right about that. Because when I did medicine, I think there was about two or three people did get a first in our year. It was like hen's teeth. But if I'd gone to Trinity, 15% of the year got a first. It was much, much easier to get a first. And therefore, obviously, delightful for them. But there should be some kind of an equivalent standardisation across the board. Because otherwise, what is the value in all these? And for those out there, and loads of people are texting saying, kind of leave those kids alone on the 625. The problem is this, is that when you bump everyone's marks up by 7%, you hit a wall because the top marks have nowhere to go. So a glut of extra people arrive in at the top. And that cohort of 625 is made up of people who will be there anyway without grade inflation and people who are only there because of grade inflation. And then what you end up with is a lottery and kids who do deserve to be there missing out to other kids.
Crazy.
It's simply not fair. It's not a fair situation, and it has to change. Really interesting text coming in, Shane. Someone says, can we not just make this the last year of inflated grades? Next year, make it normal. And if you defer this year, you can only carry non-inflated marks to next year, making it a level playing field, says Matt. In other words, downgrade next year if you're deferring by 7%. I don't think that will happen. I think legally that won't happen, but logically you're exactly right, Matt.
Another listener says, well, all those who got inflated grades managed to keep up the standard in college or really struggled. Some of my daughter's friends obviously got elevated grades as they hardly studied. They all got their first choice in college. But I honestly can't see them all staying the course, literally, which is so unfair on others who deserve to get a place and ended up accepting a course they didn't really want to do. In both cases, is a negative impact on both the colleges and the students.
Yeah. Mike says, shock horror, the Department of Education has screwed up again. Possibly one of the worst and most incompetent departments during COVID, and they have proved many times since that it wasn't a one-off. As a department, it constantly seems to be just a spectator looking out its mouth at educational policy in this country.
Really interesting final text on this. I think this is really interesting. When I did the Leaving Cert, we learned the subject. Today, we learn how to pass exams. My children, for example, would learn off five essays that cover all topics that would come up in the Leaving Cert. people adapt to a static standard. I think that's, I think people are, kids are clever now about doing Leaving Cert. I think that's one reason why grades are definitely higher. They're smarter about how to do the Leaving Cert. But there are pros and cons to that. But look, keep those texts coming through. 087 1400 106.
Now, sticking with this subject, we're joined by Orla Shields, Vice Provost at Trinity College in Dublin. Good morning to you, Orla. Firstly, can you give us your reaction to these, I suppose, elevated grades, this grade inflation that we're seeing, firstly, in the Leaving Cert? We'll get on to university afterwards.
Okay, thanks. Good morning, Ciara. Nice to be with you. Yes, with the Leaving Cert, I mean, it is, I've been listening to your comments there in the last couple of minutes. It is really, really tragic. It's so unfortunate for students who find themselves being offered a place, or rather not offered a place, because of a lottery system. And it is one of those unintended consequences of the grade inflation that we've seen since the pandemic. That's quite
unintended, but not unintended, Orla, but not unforeseeable.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. It's like pushing more and more fluid through a funnel. There's only so much capacity, and that is the issue. So with more students attaining those very high marks in particularly popular subjects, something has to give. And sadly, this is the mechanism that's arisen from it. Yes, it something could have been done about it. We could have started to reduce the artificial inflation earlier. But we are where we are at the moment, and I know it's welcome that Minister Foley says they will look at it next year, but it will still take several years to wash through the system.
Mm-hmm. Or alternatively, we could have done predicted grades and not inflated them at all. We could have had a set of predicted grades and kept them standardised to the year before. I mean, that wasn't beyond the wit of man, surely.
It was not beyond the wit of man. And certainly the predicted grades that were used in the first year of the pandemic weren't particularly related to the year before. And that's what actually brought about, I suppose, the issue that we have, the bubble that we have.
Grade inflation in general is an issue. We got a text in earlier from a teacher, and it sounds very knowledgeable. And she was saying that not only is it pandemic related, but it's the dumbing down of curriculums, it's pressure put on teachers, and I'm sure lecturers as well, about people not being willing to accept low grades. It's multifactorial. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with it partly. I think there's a bigger question. I'm speaking from the university perspective at the moment, and I think the same parallels with second level. You have to ask yourself, what are you trying to do? And we are trying to provide materials to allow young people to learn, to assimilate a new subject. The way we do that now is different from the way it was done previously. I heard the comments yourself and Shane talking about your own experiences. Quite a lot of the teaching at that point was rote learning. There was a curriculum to be learned. It was quite difficult to do, and it suited some people's style particularly. Now there's far more effort put in to show people how to do well. And so a direct consequence of that is that people get better grades. We teach them to do better. We teach them to think a bit more deeply.
Well, is that the glass is half full? Because as I say, some people would say that we've actually dumbed down the curriculum. When Shane has pointed out that when he was in school, like getting 7 A's was as rare as hen's teeth. I'm in the exact same position. I got into medicine with 27 points at a time when the maximum points was 32. That was normal, because no one got 32. So you could get into a high points course without getting a perfect score, because a perfect score was unattainable.
No, and I mean, that's what I said was the way we educate now is different. It's part of the issue. There definitely has been, as you've said, perhaps an expectation from students, perhaps pressures put on externally that students need to do well. And so there's, it is multifactorial, as you've mentioned. Certainly, there are greater numbers attaining higher grades. Part of that is to do with the way we teach. Part of that is expectation.
As the Vice Provost, this random selection, this lottery system, it's on at least 20 courses that I can see off the top of my head here. It's very unfair. What would you say to people who get those maximum points and now are missing out? I mean, one of the obvious things is hang around till next year, kids, because the next year's class aren't going to have the kind of grade inflation you have. It seems to me we've made a grossly unfair system, both ways, both ends, this year and next year.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I think the lottery system is completely cruel. It's unjust, it's unfair. And you mentioned prior to my coming on, those students who would have attained the 625 anyway, and they can't be elevated. It's particularly cruel on them if they're one of the ones who misses out.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would say wait around till next year. You know, I don't know what's going to happen next year. We have an indication that things may reduce, but they may not.
Well, I interviewed Norma Foley, the Minister for Education, on Friday, and she told me that they would decrease next year over a number of years. That would happen. John Walsh today in the papers, a well-known educator in this country, has said that he thinks it'll be somewhere up to about 2% of a drop next year. Instead of being 7, it'll be around 5.
So I'm
being slightly tongue in cheek when I say wait till next year, because it's very unfair on kids next year if there's a cohort from this year whose grades are elevated above theirs. I mean, this is an issue in general. In your view, what should be done, Orla?
So I would say, you know, it's going to be different for each individual. If they have missed out on their first choice and the second choice that's offered them is something that they actually think they might like to do, then go for it. And I would be reluctant to say to wait till next year. I mean, by all means, people will defer, and that's. But I wouldn't advise people, you know, en masse to defer, because that just pushes the issue down the line. And if the Leaving Cert results reduce by 2%, as you've suggested, next year, we don't know if there will then be a concomitant reduction of 2% from their elevated mark from this year. That's speculation. I don't know what will happen next year, or whether those grades that they have from this year will hold.
Okay. I suppose, lastly, is the solution that we need to move away from this grade inflation? I mean, the difficulty is how to do so, but it still needs to happen.
We absolutely do. We need to find a mechanism to do it as calmly as possible, but it has to happen, because it's making for an untenable system.
Look, thank you very much for joining us this morning on all of that. That is Orla Shields, their Vice Provost at Trinity College in Dublin.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.